Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 45. Krishna rescues his teacher's son and we're beginning with verse 39 through 44. We'll read. Let's read. You have 42, I believe. Was it? 42? Okay. Tad Anga Bhavavam Shankam Adaya Ratam Agamat Tata Samyamanim Nama Yamasya Dayatam Purim Tadanga Prabhavam Shankam Adaya Ratam Agamat Tatasam Yamanim Nama Yamasya Daitam Purim Tadanga Prabhavam Shankam Adaya Ratam Agamat Tatasam Yamanim Nama Yamasya Daitam Purim Tadanga Prabhavam Shankam Adaya Ratam Agamat Tatasam Yamanim Nama Yamasya Daitam Purim But his, the demons, Anga, from the body, Prabhavam, groan, Shankam, the conch shell, Adaya, taking, Ratam, to the chariot, Agamat, he returned. Tata, then, Samyamanim Nama, known as Samyamani, Yamasya, of Lord Yamaraj, Dayata, beloved, Purim, to the city. Now there are various other verses. That was 42, but we begin with 39, so I'll read the other verses. Well, let me just read the translation of that. Lord Janardhan took the conch shell that had grown around the demon's body and went back to the chariot. Then he proceeded to Samyamani, the beloved capital of Yamaraj, the Lord of Death. Text 39. Tamaha Bhagavan Ashu Guruputra Pradiyatam Yo Sadiha Tvaya Grasto Balako Mahatormina. The Supreme Lord Krishna addressed the Lord of the Ocean. Let the son of my Guru be presented at once, the one you seized here with your mighty waves. Text 40. Sri Samudra Uvacha Nacharharsha Maham Deva Daicha Pancha Jano Maham Antarjala Chara Krishna Shankarupa Duro Sura. The ocean replied, O Lord Krishna, it was not I who abducted him, but a demonic descendant of Diti named Panchajana, who travels in the water in the form of a conch shell. And then there's short report here. Clearly, the demon Panchajana was too powerful for the ocean to control. Otherwise, the ocean would have prevented such an unlawful act. Aste tena hito nunam tachtrutva sattvaram prabhu jalam avishya tam hatva napashyad udare bakam. Indeed, the ocean said, that demon has taken him away. Hearing this, Lord Krishna entered the ocean, found Panchajana, and killed him. But the Lord did not find the boy within the demon's belly. In our 42, 43, and 44. Tad anga pavavam shankam adaya ratam agamat tatasam yamanim nama yamasya daitam purim gatvajanardana shankam pradadmo sahala yuda shankam nirhadam akanya prajasam yamano yama tayosapariyam mahatim chakre bhat yupabrimhitam uvacha vannata krishnam sarvabhuta shayalayam lila manushayor vishno yuvayo karavama kim. Lord Janardhan took the conch shell that had grown around the demon's body and went back to the chariot. Then he proceeded to Samyamani, the beloved capital of Yamaraj, the Lord of Death. Upon arriving there with Lord Balaram, he loudly blew his conch shell, and Yamaraj, who keeps the conditioned souls in check, came as soon as he heard the resounding vibration. Yamaraj elaborately worshipped the two lords with great devotion, and then he addressed Lord Krishna, who lives in everyone's heart. O Supreme Lord Vishnu, what shall I do for you and Lord Balaram, who are playing the part of ordinary humans? Purport. The conch shell the Lord took from Panchajana, which is called Panchajanya, is the same one he sounded at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. According to the Acharyas, Panchajana had become a demon in a way similar to that of Jai and Vijay. In other words, though appearing in the form of a demon, he was actually a devotee of the Lord. The Skanda Purana Avantikanda describes the wonderful things that happened when Lord Krishna sounded his conch shell. Asipatravanam nama shirnam patram ajayata roravam nama narakam aroravam abhutada abhairavam bhairavakyam kumbhipakam apachakam. The hell known as Asipatravana lost the sharp sword-like leaves on its trees, and the hell named Rourava became free of its ruru beasts. The Bhairava hell lost its fearfulness, and all cooking stopped in the Kumbhipaka hell. The Skanda Purana further states, Papakshayat tata sarve vimukta naraka nara padamma vyayam asadhya. Their sinful reactions eradicated, all the inhabitants of hell attained liberation and approached the spiritual world. Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stakhtam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Gadana Andadati Sapa Kantikam Vanchikapa Charibhyas Chankri Pisam Yudhya Vichar. Paritanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasin Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Lord Krishna and Balaram were studying under Sandipani Muni, and they learnt everything very nicely. And then as is the custom, and as is only correct and proper, they then had to reciprocate by, of course, the different ways of reciprocating, but there's this one specific consideration, at least, is Guru Dakshin. So in this case, they asked Sandipani Muni, what would you like? What would you like? In those days, they didn't have rands and cents, or dollars and cents, and so on. But commerce, acquisition of different things was going on the basis of trade. So people would think not in terms of this via medium we call money, but they would think of the actual things. So Sandipani Muni didn't ask for some money, but he asked for something, some particular service, some particular offering, which was important to him. And this was the return of his son. His son had been on the beach somewhere, and at least the rumor was, or the understanding was, that some big waves had come and just washed him away. And in that way he had gone deep into the abode of the Lord of the waves, of Varuna. Because those waves, they are like the limbs of Varuna in that sense. So this was the story which was around, and Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram, acting as ordinary people, of course they're never ordinary, but they may act sometimes. So they went when they were requested by Sandipani Muni in that way, please return my son who was taken by the sea. So they went to the sea and went to the deity of the sea. But he told them that no, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was this one demon, a demonic descendant of Diti named Panchajana. Diti, of course, is the mother of the original demons, the Daitya demons. And the fact that this Panchajana was an actual descendant, coming in that line, is significant, because that is the original line of demons, and all the important demons come in that line, or lines which are related or connected with the line of Diti as such. All the current day demons, even though they try their best to be demoniac, but they are not that qualified like these people. So this Panchajana it's interesting. He was either direct offspring of Diti, or at least it coming in that demoniac line. He's referred to as Daitya, that he's actually in that line. Daitya means the descendants of Diti. So he's not just some ordinary demon. So even the ocean, and when we talk of the ocean, ultimately we mean the demigod controlling the ocean. But even he was not able to stop this Panchajana from taking the son of Santipani Muni, even though it's mentioned in the purport that this, of course, was a very wrong activity which went on within the realm of the ocean and the lord of the ocean. But still, that demon was so powerful that even the lord of the ocean, demigod of the ocean, was not able to stop him. So Lord Krishna and Balaram went down into the ocean and they found this Panchajana. And Krishna fought with him, killed him, and took that shell, the conch shell. And from that time on, that conch shell became the favorite conch shell of Lord Krishna. As is mentioned in the purport, this is the shell which the Lord blew at the beginning, just before the Battle of Kurukshetra began. So this Panchajanya, as the shell itself is called, then became very important part of the Lord's paraphernalia, and is actually eternally part of the Lord's paraphernalia, even though the various items that the Lord carries as part of his personal equipment, even though they're all eternally his paraphernalia and equipment which he keeps with him, but when he descends to this world, then as part of his lila, there is some type of pastime in which it comes to him while he's here. Even though eternally, he's known as the person who carries this or that, whatever it may be, but still, in terms of the lila, there'll be some pastime when it actually comes to his hands. And before that, apparently, he will be not in possession of that. Like when Krishna, on the Gopastami day, when Lord Krishna wanted to begin herding the cows, but Nanda Maharaj agreed that he couldn't herd the cows because the cows were too big, but he could herd the calves. So then there was a big festival to celebrate that now Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys, now they're all getting into the family tradition, the traditional family occupational activity of herding the cows. Now they, even though they're just little children, but just see, everything is working so nicely that they're becoming spontaneously attracted. They want to do it. And they're insisting on starting doing it. So when the family members saw that Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys were naturally of their own accord attracted to doing like that, they were very happy. They were very happy that the children showed such a natural inclination in a very clear and very specific way. So they had a festival. And during that festival, Krishna was given many things to help him in the cow herding. He had not done it before. So he had not really needed those things, but now he was going to do it. So now he would need these things. So they gave those things. But actually those things are parts of his eternal paraphernalia, like his rod for controlling the cows, his rope for tying the cows. Krishna always carries these things when he's cowherding. So they were given to him on that Gopastami day when he was about to go out for the first time. His buffalo horn, which he always carries with him, it was given to him first time on that day. And even Jiva Goswami describes that Krishna on that day was given his first flute. Of course, we know of all the paraphernalia, the flute is the most dear and most intimately connected with the Lord as part of his eternal equipment and what he has with him always. But in terms of his lila here, then it was only after those 3 years and some weeks that he got his first flute. Up to that time, he had not been playing the flute. So similarly here, this Panchajanya conch shell is a very important part of the Supreme Lord's eternal paraphernalia. And it is not an ordinary conch shell. Ordinary conch shells, of course, even if a particular conch shell is big and a very suitable one for blowing, it makes some noise, but not like this. Not like this. Here we read from Skanda Purana, some verses are quoted. Actually, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives these verses in his commentary. This is describing what happened when the Lord blew his conch shell, Panchajanya, on the battlefield. On the battlefield, all sorts of amazing things happened, and not just locally. Of course, we know the description is there in Bhagavad Gita of what happened locally, that the various warriors on both sides had sounded their conch shells, and some of them were also mighty conch shells, and they made mighty sounds, which was the whole idea, to impress and instill some fear in the opposition. But when Krishna blew the Panchajanya, and Panchajanya is specifically mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, then all the warriors on the other side, they became distressed and dispirited. They lost their enthusiasm, just like they immediately thought, oh, we're finished. There's nothing we can do. Like that. That sort of mood came upon them. So that was one thing. And even that is impressive. I remember first time ever reading that many years ago and thinking, oh, just see, must have been quite a sound of a conch shell. But it went to the hellish planets. Yes, what to speak of being heard on the other side of this planet. It went through the universe, even down to the hellish realms, way away, long way. surely it must have been heard in Chatsworth also. And I don't know how the local people reacted at that time, but there is a hell called Asipatra Vana. Patra means leaf. Asipatra. That these leaves, it's a forest of these Asi leaves. And these leaves are sharp like swords, like razor blades. And so, you know, and this whole planet where these trees are is just full of these trees. And you cannot move without being cut. And you can just imagine razor blades everywhere, what it would be like. So this is a hellish, one of the famous, at least we could say, not popular, but famous, famous hellish planets. Different of these hellish planets have their specialties, particular features which are very prominent and like even all-pervading on that particular planet. Where we are here, this of course there's all sorts of diversity. Hot, cold, high, low, and so on, and all different types of ecological environments and so on. But some of these other places, it's just like one type of environment, particularly, or at least it's very, very prominent on that planet. In that hell known as Asipatra Vana, it's called the forest of these trees which have leaves like swords or razor blades. So, suddenly all those leaves just fell off the trees. And surely all the residents, those unfortunate, sinful rascals who are there on those planets having to suffer the horrors of life under those circumstances, they must have been extremely happy. They must have been extremely happy. And we don't know what happened later, whether the leaves grew back. That leaves tend to grow back, but doesn't say, but at least that was what happened at the time, that the leaves just fell off and everything. The horrific condition was not there. And then in the hell called Rourava, there's Rourava, Maha Rourava. These are planets which are people live in, but they're sort of terrorized or, you know, extremely heavily populated with animals called rurus. And these rurus are terribly aggressive creatures. And somehow the local people don't have the capacity to deal with them, either by, you know, shooting them all or dropping nuclear bombs on them or anything like that. They just can't deal with them. So they're always in fear. Are these rurus going to come and get us? And they do. The rurus are just coming all the time and just taking people and ripping them to pieces and so on and so forth. You know, when I was young many years ago, I used to read a lot of science fiction. And there's so many stories about planets like this. You know, planets where there's some special condition. Not like here where there's all sorts of things. You know, from the tropics to the poles and opulent civilizations to very poor civilizations. But, you know, these places where it's just there's one condition and usually the hero is being, you know, that one condition is usually horrible, and the hero is just being terrorized, but somehow he fights back and they all live happily ever after, at least in the old science fiction stories, like H.G. Wells and people like that, you know. But the thing is, it's interesting, somehow these people have got some inspirations, although they may not get the pictures so accurate, but they get some inspirations of what it must be like in these hellish planets. All sorts of situations. But they are all exceedingly horrible. And the people who are living there are living just in immensely fearful conditions and constantly harassed, even far more than we are harassed on this planet. So somehow or other, maybe from previous life, or maybe premonition of what's coming up in the next life, probably, perhaps both, but they get some idea that there may be places like this, where there are evil empires and ferocious creatures, and so on. But there in Rolava, when the conch shell, when the Lord blew Panchajanya, all the Rurus, well, it says, the place became Arolavam. Arolavam. Suddenly it became free of Rurus. Somehow. Maybe they all dropped dead or something like that. And again, we don't know what happened later, if they somehow or other started breeding again or... But at least for the time being, it was like that. There were no more Rurus and everything was okay. But then the Bhaira of the hell lost its fearfulness and all cooking stopped in the Kumbhipaka hell. There people get cooked in all sorts of excruciating ways. But somehow the cooks became inspired to stop cooking, for the time being at least. And then beyond that, the Skanda Purana says, Papa Kshayat Tata Sarve Vimukta Naraka Nara. All the people in Narak, in hell, Papa Kshayat Tata Sarve, all their sinful reactions became destroyed, and Vimukta, they all became liberated. So it's very amazing. Very, very amazing. The sound of the Lord's conch shell having such incredible effects. Of course, an interesting point is that if this Panchajana and his shell, known as Panchajanya, if he was such a demon, descendant of Diti and coming in the worst, most demoniac family, which practically every time only produces horrible people, then how come this shell, which had grown on that Panchajana, was sort of part of his conditioned being, how come it's so auspicious that the Lord would take it to start off with, and it would have such incredible transcendental potency, even though it was from such a demoniac background? Well, of course, anything which is touched by the Lord is purified. But as mentioned here, that demon was not exactly a demon. Not not in the normal sense at all. Actually, he was a devotee, but somehow or other, what is said here in the purport is that his situation was like that of Jayan Vijay. Not just an ordinary demon, but he was a devotee. But somehow or other, some special situation arose, and he was placed in the body of a demon, but actually he was a devotee. And I looked at Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this verse. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, he had a spiritual body. Yeah. And like Jayan Vijay, Jiva Goswami says, they had spiritual bodies. Even though they had demoniac mentalities, the Lord fought with them, the Lord killed them, but still, they had spiritual bodies because they were actually great devotees. So it's a very sort of complex type of situation, but neither side, of course, can be overlooked. The demoniac side cannot be overlooked, but also the devotee side cannot be completely overlooked. They're in very extraordinary situations. So therefore this Panchajanya, when the Lord had killed the Panchajanya demon, he took the shell, which was actually his eternal paraphernalia, but somehow or other it had come to him via this demon in terms of this leela. The Lord took that shell, blew the shell, and when he did, oh, the transcendental impact was practically unlimited. Very amazing. So like this. When they arrived there at the gates of Yamaloka, some Yamani, then the Lord blew the conch shell there, and Lord Yamaraj came out and very respectfully received Krishna and Balaram. Any comments or questions? No, not that I've heard of. Only the demons in Vrindavan. There are descriptions of in those terms. But then the Lord saw that the boy was not within him. He was expecting to find some sort of remnants within the body of the demon. Then he understood he must have been taken by Yamaraj. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.